Chapter 13. Clever Cons. By now you've figured out that when a stranger calls with a request for sensitive information, or something that could be of value to an attacker, the person receiving the call must be trained to get the caller's phone number and call back to verify that the person is really who he claims to be. A company employee, or an employee of a business partner, or a technical support representative from one of your vendors, for example. Even when a company has an established procedure that the employees follow carefully for verifying callers, sophisticated attackers are still able to use a number of tricks to deceive their victims into believing they are who they claim to be. Even security-conscious employees can be duped by methods such as the following. The misleading caller ID. Anyone who has ever received a call on a cell phone has observed the feature known as caller ID, that familiar display showing the telephone number of the caller. In a business setting, it offers the advantage of allowing a worker to tell at a glance whether the call coming in is from a fellow employee or from outside the company. Many years ago, some ambitious phone freakers introduced themselves to the wonders of caller ID before the phone company was even allowed to offer the service to the public. They had a great time freaking people out by answering the phone and greeting the caller by name before they said a word. Just when you thought it was safe, the practice of verifying identity by trusting what you see, what appears on the caller ID display, is exactly what the attacker may be counting on. Linda's phone call. Day, time, Tuesday, July 23rd, 3:12 p.m. Place: the offices of the finance department, Starbeat Aviation. Linda Hill's phone rang just as she was in the middle of writing a memo to her boss. She glanced at her caller ID, which showed that the call was from the corporate office in New York, but from someone named Victor Martin, not a name she recognized. She thought of letting the call roll over to voicemail so she wouldn't break the flow of thought on the memo, but curiosity got the better of her. She picked up the phone, and the caller introduced himself and said he was from PR and working on some material for the CEO. "He's on his way to Boston for meetings with some of our bankers. He needs the top-line financials for the current quarter," he said. "And one more thing, he also needs the financial projections on the Apache project," Victor added, using the code name for a product that was to be one of the company's major releases in the spring. She asked for his email address, but he said he was having a problem receiving email that tech support was working on, so could she fax it instead? She said that would be fine, and he gave her the internal phone extension to his fax machine. She sent the fax a few minutes later. But Victor did not work for the PR department. In fact, he didn't even work for the company. Jack's story. Jack Dawkins had started his professional career at an early age as a pickpocket, working games at Yankee Stadium, on crowded subway platforms, and among the nighttime throng of Times Square tourists. He proved so nimble and artful that he could take a watch off a man's wrist without his knowing. But in his awkward teenage years, he had grown clumsy and been caught. In juvenile hall, Jack learned a new trade with a much lower risk of getting nabbed. His current assignment called for him to get a company's quarterly profit and loss statement and cash flow information before the data was filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, and made public. His client was a dentist who didn't want to explain why he wanted the information. To Jack, the man's caution was laughable. He'd seen it all before. The guy probably had a gambling problem, or else an expensive girlfriend his wife hadn't found out about yet. Or maybe he had just been bragging to his wife about how smart he was in the stock market. Now he had lost a bundle and wanted to make a big investment on a sure thing by knowing which way the company's stock price was going to go when they announced their quarterly results. People are surprised to find out how little time it takes a thoughtful social engineer to figure out a way of handling a situation he's never faced before. By the time Jack got home from his meeting with the dentist, he had already formed a plan. His friend, Charles Bates, worked for a company, Panda Importing, that had its own telephone switch, or PBX. In terms familiar to people knowledgeable about phone systems, the PBX was connected to a digital telephone service known as a T1, configured as Primary Rate Interface, ISDN, Integrated Services Digital Network, or PRI-ISDN. What this meant was that every time a call was placed from Panda, setup and other call processing information went out over a data channel to the phone company's switch. The information included the calling party number, which, unless blocked, is delivered to the caller ID device at the receiving end. Jack's friend knew how to program the switch so the person receiving the call would see on his caller ID not the actual phone number at the Panda office, but whatever phone number he had programmed into the switch. This trick works because local phone companies do not bother to validate the calling number received from the customer against the actual phone numbers the customer is paying for. All Jack Dawkins needed was access to any such telephone service. Happily, his friend and sometime partner in crime, Charles Bates, was always glad to lend a helping hand for a nominal fee. On this occasion, Jack and Charles temporarily reprogrammed the company's telephone switch so that calls from a particular telephone line located on the Panda premises would spoof Victor Martin's internal telephone number, making the call appear to be coming from within Starbeat Aviation. The idea that your caller ID can be made to show any number you wish is so little known that it's seldom questioned. In this case, Linda was happy to fax the requested information to the guy she thought was from PR. When Jack hung up, Charles reprogrammed his company's telephone switch, restoring the telephone number to the original settings. Analyzing the con. Some companies don't want customers or vendors to know the telephone numbers of their employees. For example, Ford may decide that calls from their customer support center